at the Rising Billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Rich.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, here with my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. Alan, you in the house?
I'm in the house, Chris. In the house. Having a great day thus far. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. Thanks. Thanks for asking. Down on the coast, obviously in Florida, as most people know that tune in. Here in the Gulf Coast, and what a beautiful day. I'll tell you, it got up early, went out on the beach where I normally go and do and set up my day for success, and write in my journal, take some action, and then go kick some ass. And that's what we're going to do today, Alan. We're gonna certainly introduce a guest that I'm really excited to interview today and learn a lot more about. But we had a pre-interview. We learned some things that she had gone through, quite frankly, that most people in life don't ever go through. And it's not a good or bad thing, but I certainly know that she's going to bring some inspiration today, and she's going to bring some insight to some things that most people would be unaware of in our world, you know, daily. So on that note, Alan, why don't you take it away?
Indeed, will do. Thanks, Chris. You know, we are very appreciative, obviously, of all the guests that come on our show, as Chris mentioned, and we're very fortunate for these folks to bring their wisdom and their magic and their genius to the audience here, and be able to leave them with some great nuggets. And today is no exception. Today I take a real personal approach to, because this individual, with their service and with what they're dealing with now, is similar to with what you know, some of the experience that I've had. And so I'm excited to bring this individual on. She is has a history in vein and vascular medicine, and she is a retired captain and first lieutenant for the United States Air Force. And her unique history, well, first off, I'd just like to say on behalf of Chris and I, thank you for your service. And thank you for putting yourself out there for the benefit of not only those in our country, but for the suffering and the protection of those around the world that need some assistance. So with that said, the young woman we have in the house today is Jennifer Clark. Real big background in health, and work, like I said, was in the United States Air Force, and was deployed to Panama City and then to Afghanistan, and she spent 166 days there. And she wrote a book about her history, and she wrote a book called 166 Days, My Journey Through the Darkness. And part of that darkness is not only dealing with what she had to at that point in time, boots on the ground right at the front line, but what she had to deal with when she came back from a PTSD standpoint, and how that has helped her life, how it has grown her family and her marriage, and also the tools that it's given her to be able to bring this topic and these resources and this success coming out of this environment to her audience as a coach and consultant is very honorable. So with that said, let's welcome Jennifer Clark. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it and truly am honored to be with you for today.
Well, we're honored to have you. And as Alan said, we really appreciate, first of all, your service, but most importantly, you know, even outside of the of what you've done, you know, the service that you're providing others now. And plus, you know, you wrote a book, and I'm really excited to dive in that into that, Jennifer. And, you know, I think that's probably a good question to start out with. And certainly, you know, I know it's something that is important to you and important to get your story out and also help, you know, the people that you're helping out there. And you know, our job is to help you help more people. And hence having you on this show and the reach that we have so that people understand that story. So why don't we start there, Jennifer? Can you tell us about your book and what it's about?
Yes. Well, Chris, like you, I truly value having a journal. I think that a journal is something that can be such an incredible tool for us all. And, you know, back when that deployment to Afghanistan happened, I was young in my career. I was newly commissioned as an officer, you know, a year out of school, and I got tasked with this incredibly challenging deployment to be attached with a team of Green Berets. And myself and a female medic were going to be what was called a female treatment team, where we went out with this team on a fire base, and we were going to be helping to provide health care to the local nationals as well as, you know, the team themselves. And so in going into that, I knew it was going to be a paramount time in my life, and I wanted to record that for maybe my kids someday, to be able to kind of tell them, hey, this is what your mom did back in my crazy military days, or, you know, just as something for my own reflection. I had no idea that it would become what it has, and the impact that it's been able to have on other people as well as myself. And so the book is basically about our experience over there and then the unfortunate experience that I think so many service members have when they come back from war and dealing with post-traumatic stress. And but it's been something that I, as difficult as it was, is something I would never trade. I'm such a better person for it, and I am truly blessed to be able to take my experience and use it to serve others. And that's what the book is about, and that's why I ultimately decided to publish the story, to get the word out there, to, you know, certainly be a voice to people who may be going through the same things, and to let them know that there is hope and you can come through extreme adversity in life. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Wow. And yeah, what a nutshell.
Yeah.
You said it correctly, and well, you know, I appreciate that, and you're right. You know, this is, you know, the importance of carrying a journal is you're able to capture things that, quite frankly, you know, are easy to forget. Not that this, you know, experience was easy to forget in your circumstance, but, you know, life, you know, and that's why, audience, we always ask you to bring your journal, because this is where you, you know, gather things that are going to help you with, you know, whatever is going on in your life. And a lot of times, you know, Jennifer's experience, for example, may not be exactly what, you know, most people will go through, but it's about the transferable knowledge that she can pass on that, you know, can help you overcome adversities, because we all have them. No one goes, you know, unscathed through life without having things that, you know, enter our being and our livelihoods. But most importantly, the information that gets shared can help you cope with the things that, you know, we all go through. Alan, what's your thoughts on this opening? Because it was certainly very very inspiring. At the same time, somewhat, you know, scary.
Well, you know, well, it's life, and life sometimes can be scary, Chris, and I totally agree. And Jennifer, I thank you so much for giving us the heads up as to how you got here. And I've been diving into your book 166 days, and I love how you prefaced in the beginning here, kind of what clicked for you. And I'm going to take just a second here, because I want the audience to really be able to physically put themselves in the position of where you're at, whether they have actually been there or not, because what it does is it sets the stage for everything that came later. So let me read just a quick paragraph here. It has to do with you at night trying to feed your baby girl and the challenges that you had over a couple hour period, but what clicked with you. And it says right here, I'm reading this verbatim right out of her book. Next paragraph is, my physician assistant instincts kicked in. What if she's dehydrated? Talking about her baby, she thought. I reached down and put my finger in her tongue and it was dry. Oh my God, she is dehydrated. I looked down at her with great concern, but I didn't see Ayla. I was holding that baby, the dying baby in Afghanistan. Her brother had carried her into my clinic in what looked like a potato sack, wrapped, over his shoulder. Plopped her down on my gurney and untied the sack. I looked inside and saw the skin and bones of what used to be a healthy baby girl, now minutes from death. There was nothing I could do to save her. As I looked down at my daughter, I was right back there in the horrible place. I could smell the filth in the air and I could hear the breaths slowly leaving the baby girl's tiny dying body. So not to be a downer, but with that said, this is an important topic, Jennifer, and I'm so glad that you're addressing this. What's the biggest thing you learned from this experience?
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And certainly it is a difficult topic to take on, and I know it's not a usual topic for you guys to talk about, but it's so important to know that whether it's a circumstance like that or just adversity, period, in life, we all face challenges. And I can tell you that there are so many things that I took from this experience that have shaped me and made me better because of them. But I was tested over and over and over again in so many ways, when I was there and certainly when I came home and in those moments as I struggled to kind of figure out who I was again. But what I really learned is that we all have these moments in our lives. And the bottom line is no matter what happens in us, life is way too short to not be intentional with our joy. We have got to protect and maximize the joy that we have in our life because it is way too short. And I feel like the most important way that we do that is we take hold of resilience in our life and use it for the incredible value and resources that resilience can bring us in adversity.
Fantastic. I think you just hit on something extremely important there, the ability to bounce back or the ability to bounce forward. And I think that's a big piece that a lot of people don't do. They don't know how. They don't know how to do that. So I guess, Chris, without taking your thunder here, I'm going to go right into, I think we both like to know, how do you define resilience, Jennifer?
It's funny. I was speaking at an event a few years ago, and I was kind of talking through my story, and this incredible guy who is now a dear friend and mentor of mine by the name of Toby Warren, he came up to me and he said, you know something, Jennifer, your story is a story of resilience. And I smiled and said, thank you. He's like, no, you need to listen to me. He said, this is how I define resilience. He said, resilience is not just about overcoming our adversities, but thriving because of them. And I mean, when I heard him say that, it hit me truly like a ton of bricks, and it made me go home and just reflect on my entire life. And certainly this particular experience that I wrote about in the book was one of the most challenging things that I'd ever been through, but I looked back at my whole life, and I've had a lot of adversity, yet I still have managed to thrive. I am such a joyful, happy, peaceful, loving person despite all of that. And that definition, I think, is so exactly who I am. And so when he said that to me, it made me think, well, what is it? What did I do in my life despite all of these adversities, through this experience in Afghanistan and life in general? What have I done in my life that has made me resilient as defined by Mr. Toby Warren. And so I did. I came up with several things in reflection of my own life that I have applied, and then it became a passion of mine to be able to share that with other people, because what I tapped into innately in my own world is something that has been so incredibly powerful to me. Why not share that? And so that's certainly my message, has definitely become one of resilience in thriving because of the adversity that I have faced in my life.
I think everybody can relate to that. Chris, what do you think?
Absolutely. You know, you said something just prior to talking about resilience, but, you know, living intentionally with your, you know, our joy, and, you know, that life is too short, and, you know, just for everybody, you know, including myself and, you know, yourself, Alan, you know, just listening to that one statement, I think we can all step back and realize, especially, you know, hearing that come from a young lady like Jennifer, who, you know, really was in a situation that most of us will never be in. And, you know, in some cases, thank goodness for that. But at the same time, we appreciate, you know, obviously the service and what she's brought back in terms of knowledge and that you can share. So, you know, again, thanks for diving into that and what, you know, resilience is. And, you know, we're all faced with things every day. You know, I look at the same circumstances, you know, to get through and sometimes blindsided, obviously, with some things that happen to us. Do you have any takeaways you can give our listeners on how they can become more resilient, you know, in life or their business per se, or relationships in some cases?
Yeah, I do. As I was kind of alluding to, you know, in my own reflections of what I've done in my world in my own resilience, there are several takeaways that I've really been able to apply to my life and to teach others that has really been very impactful. The first one, really, I think, in one of the more important things I think we all should do is to realize, when it comes to the circumstances in our lives, is to realize that we have a choice. I think that there is so much that we cannot control in life, like illness and injury and other people, their thoughts, their actions, their words, the circumstances that, you know, are just part of the deck of cards that we've been dealt. And I think if we're not careful, we can let what we can't control overshadow what we can. And, you know, when I was in the midst of my struggles, and that particular night that you referenced from the book was actually the night that I realized I did have a choice. I had been in denial up until that point for about 18 months. You know, the things that I was feeling and the anger and the sadness and, you know, my world spinning out of control, all of that stuff I completely suppressed and was trying to put away into a pretty little box in the back of my closet of emotions, if you will. And it was that night with my little girl. You know, it was the second night I had her home from the hospital. And it was in that moment that I realized I had to make a decision. I could let what was happening consume me and define who I was from that moment on, or I could do something about it. And so that's when I decided I had to. I had to go and get some help for that. And so certainly realizing that we have a choice in dealing with the situations that we're in is one of the most important things when it comes to resilience, and staying committed to that choice. Because when I finally did say, hey, I need to get some help and let somebody help me, that was very difficult because I had to unwrap all of those things that I had packed away, and it was painful. And there were many times that I wanted to quit, but I had to continue to keep it on the forefront of my mind and my heart what the right thing to do was, and that was to overcome that and not let it consume me. So that certainly is one of the bigger things,
right,
as far as resilience is concerned, you know.
Well, you said
something. We don't need to be a victim of our circumstances.
For sure. I think that's what a lot of people do is they allow themselves to become a victim of their circumstance because maybe they feel they are not in control of that circumstance. But you said something, and Chris, I'm sorry, I kind of jumped in front of you here. But Jennifer, you said something about taking control of the joy of what you can do, and I think that can be a big leap for people. For some people, especially dealing with tragedy and challenge, is to be able to look at the other side of the scale, look at the happy and look at the joyful part, and to make that decision and stay committed to that decision. So we honor you for doing that and honor you for being able to so clearly depict that story and how you've made that shift.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think it's really... it's humbling to certainly look at all of the things that are surrounding us that are way out of our control, but we don't need to stop there. We need to kind of take a step back and say, okay, this is happening. This is what it is. What can I do about it? It's just like when you get into relationships and personality conflicts with people at work or at home. You know, people are who they are. But where you can make the changes within yourself. And that's so powerful once we realize that.
Yeah, most definitely. And you said something, you realize you needed help and then you let the help happen. And I think that's a big thing for people is, we don't get out of our way in order for those things to transpire properly and quite frankly get to a point where when you allow things to happen they tend to happen much quicker and again you have a lot of other opportunities that starts to come your way. Man, you are certainly an inspiration, and I didn't realize Jennifer lighten up a little bit of things at this point, but I didn't realize you're that close to where I am in Florida.
Well, I was.
Okay.
I'm not anymore. No, I was. I was stationed in Panama City, which is very close to you. And
that's correct.
Absolutely beautiful beaches. I mean, talk about a blessing. Spoil. Yeah, sure, I'll go to Panama City when they send me there. But
right.
So we were there for about 8 years, and just this year we relocated to Houston. And
that's
so,
correct. That's correct.
Yes, I feel that I have become somewhat of a beach snob my time there. So I have not gone to Galveston just yet. Not to say there's anything wrong with it, but I'm easing into my separation from the beautiful Emerald Coast.
Yes, and it certainly is a beautiful Emerald Coast. In fact, and this time of year, the water just completely turns green and aqua green at that, and beautiful blue, and all kinds of wonderful colors, and everything just comes alive this time of year. But I remember talking to you previous, and you're right, you did move away from this beautiful beautiful area, but not too far away. The 30A area, I'm sure, and it's not too far from where you were. But that being said, you can make all kinds of opportunities be a lot of fun no matter where you are in life. Now that you're out of the military, tell us what you're up to now. What's going on?
Well, I am certainly a healer by profession and by passion. I am still practicing as a PA, and I absolutely love that. In my downtime, I write a blog really for the sole purpose of helping people to heal from the inside out. I feel that mindset is such an important part of our total overall well-being and health. And I cannot tell you how many patients in my 10 years of practicing medicine, how many patients have profoundly impacted me by their mindset despite their circumstances, and they have such joyful lives despite what's happening to them and their health. And so I am pretty dang passionate about helping to just inspire and motivate people to find the joy in any circumstance that they're in. And so that's what my blog is about.
Beautiful. And find the joy in anything and no matter where you are. And I'm sure that comes from personal experience, as you just mentioned, from, you know, the yeah. fact that you are now where you are living and, you know, where you were living, and you've got to find some joy in that. So, and that comes passionately through your blog. And I had a chance to read, you know, some of your blog, and I'm certainly signed up to hear more. And, you know, I can't wait to read your book. And typically we like to read the books, but your show came up fairly quickly and wasn't able to get through everything, but I know Alan, you know, was able to read some of the stuff, you know, from your book directly and share some of that with our audience. But, you know, let's point people to your website. And I know, Alan, you've got a couple other things that we want to discuss with Jennifer, but it's backtocenterwellness.com. Is that correct, Jennifer?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and you're all over social media. You're on Twitter and Facebook, which seems to be some of the predominant ones. I guess maybe Instagram as well?
I'm not on Instagram yet, but, you know, that's going to probably change very soon. I feel I'm a little slower to jump into all of the channels than some people, but...
Well, there's certainly a lot of them.
Yes, I mean, it's crazy keeping up with all this stuff. But yeah, soon I will be getting an Instagram account as well. So
sure. So, but you're on the, you know, the original two, I like to call them, with Facebook and Twitter, and you know, people can get a hold of you there. Alan, what else are we going to talk to Jennifer about?
Well, I'd just like to say before we continue here that Jennifer, your voice is so calming and so consistent. You know, I really appreciate that. It really is. And it's inviting in the fact that I feel very comfortable talking with you. And
thank you very much.
The tone of your voice makes me assured. It makes me, you know, the barriers are down, because I think there's an honesty and a purity that comes from your voice. And I'm sure a part of that is by design, and it's by your maker and how you live your life, and part of that's come from how you've come through your life. And so I honor that, and I guess with that, because it's such a, and I really think it's a unique tone in your voice that you use, what do you do on, you know, for the audience that may be going through something like this or some other piece in their life where they want to be able to take the joy and make that predominant? Is there anything that you do during the day or every day as a routine that keeps you in that joyful spirit?
You know, I think one of the biggest things that I do every single day, and certainly through this particular time in my life with the book, is I see tremendous value in using our experiences to serve others. In fact, the vast majority of my blog posts are telling stories that are happening in my life. My last story that I wrote was about, you know, my little girl who came home and had a very large chunk of her hair cut off at school, and how her perspective on that was such an eye-opener for me and my own. But I feel that we all have a story. We all have something to say. We all have such incredible experience in our lives individually. And I know in life we have so many moments that define us. And those moments can often involve other people that are sharing a piece of themselves with us that brings us value. And I think that a life filled with purpose is a life filled with serving. And so what better way to serve than to use your shortcomings and your failures and your hiccups and your successes and your pain and all of the things that make you the beautiful version of you with others? Because when you can do that, I think that you empower yourself and them. I truly believe that one of the most profound ways to gain spiritual strength is to love. And when you can take something that has happened in your own life and use that for the betterment of someone else, it provides you with just an incredible amount of purpose and value to your life. And so I think that's one of the main things that I just am very intentional with in my own world, is using what I go through to serve.
Well put.
Yeah, very, very well put. I think we don't always do that. I think we, you know, a lot of times, I know, speaking for myself and not for the audience, that, you know, it's only been in the last, you know, 8 or 10 years through my life experiences, I've been able to do that and really be able to use the experiences in the story. And that's something that Chris and I talk a lot about. And hence, it shows in our guests as well, is that using your life stories to be able to offer value and other avenues and experiences, as well as the new things that come along with technology and come along, you know, in the industries that we want to be aware of and be kind of on the leading edge. Using our stories, you know, how we made it through the mud and the mire. And I'm not saying that success comes from whatever that might be, defined by anybody, you know, from just a cachet of, you know, maybe negative or challenging life experiences. But your character shows more in those challenges and how you navigated through, because you didn't have a choice. When you have a choice, sometimes it's easier. But when you have no choice, it's tough.
It is. And you know, I think along the same lines, I think what's really important that I think is hard to do, certainly in the moment, but if you can look at those challenges that we have in life as an opportunity, you can get such incredible value from those experiences that you struggle through because you have no other choice. But if you can really see that as an opportunity for growth, man, I think that is a tremendous tool to put in your toolbox as well.
Jennifer, when you're talking, thank you for that. When you're talking with clients, what's their, with what we're talking about here and using their histories, what's their reaction when you're talking about this and kind of having them look back internally into their life to find those tools? How are they responding to that?
You know, most people are really surprised at what they tend to carry with them as far as the luggage that they carry, the toxic behavior, the toxic people, resentment and anger, whatever it is that they are just letting have such a power over them. When we start to really talk through all of this stuff, it's amazing to see the freedom that they experience once they begin to kind of let that stuff go and see things through, you know, a clearer lens. And so a lot of it is surprise in the sense of the self-reflection that people can do when they start to really take a look at those things. And when they start to, you know, see how their own experiences have served others, it's energizing. And they want to do more of it. And they feel, you know, refreshed and renewed from that, which is really, really cool.
I like that. Well, you said self-reflection, you know, can be amazing and energizing. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're afraid to look at history because maybe it wasn't positive. And so we compartmentalize it. But what you're talking about is bringing that out and releasing some of that. I mean, it's past. It's history. You can't change it. So you might as well let it go instead of letting it affect you. Right. So I love that. I think that's
exactly.
Great advice.
Exactly. I mean, it's time to move on because, I mean, it can be just so heavy to carry such weight with you. I mean, and I look at certainly the experience in Afghanistan and all of the pain and anger and at sometimes even rage and sadness and loss and all of those things. And that's no way to live, to continue to feel those things. So eventually you have to learn to let those go and embrace what they've done for your life, though. I mean, I truly believe everything that we go through has purpose. And even if it's painful, I would never change the things that I've gone through because they have been the pieces of the puzzle that have made me who I am today. And they're so important, each and every one of them. We can just look at things that way. Even though it's hard to do that in the moment, I think it's important when you can go back and reflect and see the value of those times especially once you're through them, to see what they've done for you and how you've grown through them.
Well, that, you know, that's perfect. And I think that's something that goes with, you know, your personal life and your business life, is don't be afraid to turn around and look at your path, you know, and if you didn't necessarily like it, but you have to respect it because it got you to where you're at.
Definitely. Definitely.
I love it. You know, it'd be great to talk to you all day long. In fact, to Alan's point, you know, it's just a pleasure to listen to you and that calmness that you have and that you, you know, present. And I'm sure, you know, you may look at yourself a little bit different, but I want to assure you that that's what we feel. And, you know, I think that the audience could agree that you found that calmness probably through some, you know, crazy things that you've gone through, and really appreciate that. And it's that time, you know, it's coming, and it comes so fast on this show, Jennifer, that we have to say, you know, or move on to the next part of our show, and eventually, you know, the show ends. But I want to ask you a question before we get into the rapid, bold insight with you. Is will you come back sometime this year with us and let us know where you're at and what's happened? And certainly we're going to ask you a couple of questions on what that looks like for your future. But would you come back this year?
Oh, I'd be honored to, of course.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate that. We heard it here, folks. You know, Jennifer Clark will be back with us sometime this year, and we'll certainly keep you up to date on where she's, what she's doing and where she's going. But certainly go to Jennifer's site and sign yourself up. It's, again, backtocenterwellness.com. Thanks, Alan, for my echo in the back, keeping me on track. But I appreciate that. That's how we work together, folks. That is a sign of a good marriage right there. Well, listen, I want to get into the rapid bold insight with you. And then, you know, obviously Alan will, you know, end our show with one question that I know our audience is going to be anticipating from you, because that's how we end our shows. But Jennifer, you're a real pleasure. And I can tell you, I can listen all day long. And I will read your book, and I will provide some feedback and give you, you know, a great review on Amazon. And I promise you that. And it's well worth it.
Thank you.
What book do you recommend, Jennifer?
I love books, but I can tell you the one that I keep going back to, certainly is one of my top tens, is a super quick read. It's called QBQ, The Question Behind the Question by John G. Miller. Have you guys ever read that?
I haven't yet, but I'm intrigued.
Oh, intrigued. It is such a good book. It's really based on personal accountability. You know, it's so kind of that whole victim mindset, you know, things happening to me and how come this, who dropped the ball here and who did this, who's to blame. And it's not about that. It's about learning to, you know, turn those pointed questions to yourself and what you can do better to eliminate blame and complaining and procrastination. And I think it's one of the best books to read as far as anybody who's got a plan and a mission to do something bigger than themselves. It's a wonderful, wonderful read.
I love
Fantastic.
It. Yeah, the question behind the question. I love the aspect of that. What do you do for fun?
You know, I love spending time with my family. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I do anything that entails, whether it's doing some crazy fun family game nights. I can tell you the dinner table is one of our most sacred places. I wish more families would spend some time there, have some good conversations, and grow together. So that's certainly my everyday habit, is to sit around that dinner table with my family. But, you know, when people ask me what's your favorite thing to do, inevitably my response is something I've never done before. I love learning and doing new things, and so that is something that I strive to find and discover what the next fun thing is to do, for sure.
I love it. You know, the student mindset, for sure, and always learning.
Yes.
What one piece of technology has helped you in your, you know, business the most? What would you recommend to people?
You know, I might sound completely silly in saying this, but I don't care. YouTube is amazing because there's so much stuff out there.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
That I have no clue, and all you got to do is pop up YouTube. I caught myself, like, having to write some HTML code the other day, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Let me YouTube it. And it's amazing. So, yeah, YouTube by far has been pretty awesome.
I agree with you 100% on that. In fact, I think we're just scratching the surface on what that can do. And in fact, it's so funny on YouTube, just, you know, thinking about how people go there to find out how-tos. I know some friends of mine that, you know, their parents came to babysit the kids and they didn't know how to, you know, when you go to people's houses, sometimes you don't know how to use their TVs and, you know, their stereo systems and everything else. You know, it might be foreign to some people. So they YouTubed a video and provided them exactly how to do everything. So I'm with you. I'm with you on YouTube. It's a great resource. What quote has had the most impact on you, Jennifer?
So my, I think, ultimate favorite quote is by a Persian poet. His name is Hafiz. And it's, I am a hole in a flute that God's breath moves through. Listen to the music. I just think it's so profound. I think that we all are vessels to a certain degree of something much bigger than ourselves. And everything that we do in our life, our, you know, our interactions with the people that we know, the words that we say and the thoughts that we feel, they're all a reflection of something so much bigger than us. And how beautiful to put that in an analogy like that and then just say, listen to the music, is just really profound and beautiful.
I love it. And what a great one. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What is your next bold move, Jennifer?
You know, my mission, again, is to really help people to do what I've done in my life as far as resilience is concerned. And I really want to use my platform as an opportunity for people to share their stories to serve others in the same way that I have. And so I want to be bolder and certainly bigger in that aspect and grow that to something much, much bigger.
I love it. And we are here to help you do that. In fact, you're surrounded by some great people that are going to do that as well once you meet the rest of the alumni. I can tell you that. We're all bold thinkers, and we're certainly supportive of everybody's endeavor out there. So thank you. Alan, my friend, it's that time.
It is that time. I'm looking at the clock ticking away here. We're running close to an hour, and I'm really surprised by that. But then again, not, because with great content, time passes.
Sure.
That was so profound. Well, really not all that profound. But anyway, Jennifer, thanks so much for being on the show. We really honor you for your service to our country, your service to your family, and your service to all the listeners out there, that including our audience, that are going to be able to take away some of the golden nuggets, as Chris so boldly says, from the show today. So with that said, this is the last question we're gonna wrangle you with, but and this could be, you know, your answer to this could be something you've already talked about today, or it could be something new, but what one bold move would you like to leave with our audience?
Fail forward. I honestly think that we should all know and embrace we're going to have mistakes, and we're going to have hiccups and disappointments, and just use those to your opportunity to grow and be even better. And so know what's going to happen, and that's wonderful and beautiful, and just use it to grow and be amazing.
Fantastic. I like it. That might be one of the shortest quotes. Sail forward. I love that. But says it all.
Yep.
I love it.
It does.
And what a great concept to leave our guests with. And Jennifer, what a pleasure. You're just a wonderful person. Thank you for doing the things you're doing to help the people out there. Thanks for coming on our show. And I took a few pages of notes that reminding myself of things that, you know, we can easily forget through our days of, you know, being busy. But you know, one thing that really stood out is be intentional with your joy. And I want to leave everybody in the audience with that you know, profound insight from Jennifer that she brought forward you know, at the beginning of the show. And life is short. Life is too short for a lot of others. But if you're here today and you've woke, you know, you woke up and you're able to, you know, breathe, I think that that's the joy we need to, you know, embrace. And Jennifer, thank you for doing the things you've done. And Alan, take us away, my friend, and I'll say our goodbyes.
Great. Chris, as usual, it's been a joy, continue to be a joy to work with you and to be able to bring these great guests to a great listener audience. It is an honor to be able to do that. And, you know, we don't take that for granted. So those out there listening, please know that we appreciate you. Jennifer, as we've said before, it's an honor to have you on the show. We appreciate your being so transparent with your mission and with your history and with the experiences. And I think that's what makes or helps make the magic and the genius in you. Thank you for coming back on the show. We appreciate that. And of course, we'll let the audience know when that time's coming. And, you know, I hate to say it, but Chris, we're there. Take us home, buddy.
You got it. Thank you, audience. Thank you for showing up today. And definitely come to info@thinkbowlbbowl.com. And give us some comments, what you're looking for. We'll be happy to find the people that will come on and talk about it, as well as go to iTunes and give us a rating and comments. We love you guys. Be bold, nation. And it wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.